It may be a relatively new term, but it's certainly not a new activity. People have been doing this for a very long time, typically in an effort to save time. We call it multitasking, and there are various types. There's a good type of multitasking, which might be evidenced in such things as a person exercising on a treadmill, walking, and simultaneously reading an assignment. What isn't very good is when people are looking at their electronic devices or other things during chapel rather than focusing on what has been prepared for them to hear. A bad type of multitasking is also evident in something which people are repeatedly warning us against doing, and that is to engage in the use of technical devices while driving, especially texting. Extremely risky, very, very, very dangerous, and so now there are laws against that type of multitasking. But back to the positive kinds, and there are some very positive kinds. The one who multitasks the very best is also the one who does so perfectly. That, of course, is Jesus. Just look at the record that we have in the four accounts by the evangelists. We see Jesus during his earthly ministry as one who was simultaneously fulfilling his Father's will, living according to the law perfectly, avoiding every temptation while he was responding to his people's needs, teaching his disciples masterfully, keeping in constant communication with his heavenly Father, healing those who were diseased, announcing the kingdom of God to all, keeping in step with God's timetable for our redemption, and the list goes on and on and on. Jesus worked very, very hard. He was the ultimate multitasker, and he still is. Yesterday, of course, was the festival of Christ's ascension, a high point in the church year's calendar. That event where we are reminded of the wonderful way in which Jesus was taken again up into heaven, covered by the clouds, but only temporarily, out of sight until the day that he returns in his glory. So how well does our current mental image of Jesus now correspond to the way in which the Bible portrays him right now? Do we possibly think of the throne to which Jesus ascended as being more like an easy chair that he settled into after his earthly work was done? Might we view the day of his ascension sort of as the first day of a well-deserved vacation? Well, we are locked into that way of thinking, aren't we? We tend to think in terms of having vacation periods between arduous times in our lives. We have the summer break to separate semesters. And perhaps that's how many people think of this period of time for Jesus. He certainly deserved a vacation. Nobody has ever worked as hard as he did. No one has ever suffered to the extent that he suffered on our behalf. So did he return to his heavenly throne basically to finally kick back and relax a little bit? Not at all, nor did he have any inclination in doing so. From the moment he ascended, Jesus has been energetically working in connection with his created universe, with the Holy Christian Church, and with every single believer. We'll start first with the big picture, the universe. Were it not for the working that Jesus is doing right now, the entire thing would fall apart. Stars would fall away, planets would spin out of control, the earth itself would lose its way. But our ascended Lord is keeping everything on track for the benefit of his people. The opening chapter of Hebrews looks directly at Jesus, who, it says, being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made himself purged our sins, when he himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus is busily engaged in the maneuvering of the galaxies in order to bring about his wisely desired ends. He is before all things, wrote Paul, and in him all things hold together. And what is true of the universe is also true of his church. It too is the focus of his energies. The Lord did not leave his church adrift in the seas of opposition found in this world, but rather remains the captain. Hear how the evangelist Mark brings his gospel narrative to a close without the slightest hint that Jesus is now somehow taking it easy. "So then," wrote Mark, "after the Lord had spoken to the disciples, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Though he ascended, the omnipresent Christ keeps his hand in every aspect of the church's work, building the kingdom, protecting his own, providing all that is necessary for the church to succeed. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If the church needs something, Christ will provide it. If the church needs something done, he will do it. As is the case also then with our individual lives. He who ascended into heaven promises to stay right by our side. He says, "I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." He is actively working, first of all, for our spiritual benefit, primarily as our intercessor. "Who is to condemn?" asks Paul. "Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed is interceding for us?" No matter what our sin, Jesus is serving as our public defender, pleading our case before God on the basis of his all-sufficient atonement. In addition, he's actively working for our physical, temporal benefit. "Call on me in the day of trouble," he invites. "I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." And again, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid." What a worker is found in our Savior. Yesterday in hymnology, we were speaking about African-American tunes, and there are many, one of which has as part of its text the phrase, "Oh, he's King of Kings, and he's Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the first and last, no one works like him." Incorrect grammar, but a very correct concept. No one works like the one who is working right now for the welfare of his people. And since he's God, he works with 100% efficiency, 100% reliability, 100% success in everything he undertakes. He has the ability to protect us, to hear us, to feed us, to help us, to sort out our problems, address our needs, while restraining our enemies and allowing them only to go so far and do so much. Jesus, he is the one who has ascended to serve as the perfect multitasker, which means that we have in him all that is needed spiritually, universally, ecclesiastically, personally. How wonderful that the one who is now above all things is the one who keeps up on all things and who works with all things in our best interest until the day he lifts us up to join him in his glory. A hymn which speaks of his ascension as well as his focus on his people is 213. Hymn 213, verses 1, 3, 4, and 5.